Welcome back, listeners, to your AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 2, Stormborn. Danny's here, and it didn't take long for the war to start. Let's find out who drew first blood.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Love the show.
Yes, we are back. This season is cruising along now. Welcome back, listeners. My name is Kyle Maddock. I'm going to be hosting this little shindig here tonight. I got a lovely panel of people here, so let's find out who.
Hey, guys. I'm Kristen Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape. Back from Comic-Con. Super excited to be here. Just got back.
Heck yeah. We did just get off the train.
I'm jealous that I wasn't here last week. I'm jealous I didn't go to Comic-Con, but I'm so happy to be here. Hi, guys.
Yay.
Sarah Stratton.
Welcome back, Woo! Sarah Stratton.
You guys asked for Sarah, so we brought her back.
We missed you so much.
Like Jon Snow, back from the dead.
That's great. You've been to the darkness, have you?
I was just going to say, I do love the new guys you guys have on the show. Listened to it last week. Absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely.
Now I'm not a host. I'm a fan. I'm just one of the fans. I love it.
Super fan. Right next to me. I'm happy to be back. David will be back, and so will Amber. In the meantime, I'm Ryan Malady, and I am sitting here at youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV. I will be your chat maester for the day. But before we get into it, we actually went to Comic-Con, and we came back with some exclusive new footage from up in Winterfell. Let's check it out.
Who me?
That was so much fun.
You guys ruling the North would be like a lot more dancing.
Yeah. It'd be one big dance party.
A
winter ball.
More.
I love it. And we got a little friend here.
Yeah. So Kristen and I went through the Game of Thrones activations we usually do, and it was really cool this year. A lot of cool pictures. They gave us these pop toys, which like came out of nowhere. Now there's one for everyone. I think Kyle even has one out there.
I do. It's horrifying.
It's hard to find, but they're really cool. We got the Night King. So big shout out to Game of Thrones for setting up such a cool thing. If you ever get the chance, definitely go down to San Diego. It's Comic-Con because it's epic.
And they give you that shirt.
And this shirt, too. I love it. They got the blue eye. We did some cool pictures. Go out and check out our Instagrams and stuff, and you can guys can see more of what we got into down there. It was really sweet.
I love it. I love it, guys. I also went. I'm exhausted, but here we go. Let's jump into this little thing.
Jump right in. This is cool.
So all the way down south in San Diego to all the way to Dragonstone.
Oh.
Let's start off with this. Daenerys is back here, and she's having... we have this little chat with Varys here to kind of kick things off. She's talking about why she should trust this man who seems to be turning on everybody. Do you guys think she should be trusting Varys? Yeah.
Well, I think this conversation's necessary because of his past, but I think we all do like Varys, and he's proven that once he is aligned with someone, he is loyal to them, so I believe him that he is now with the queen, that he will be loyal to through the rest of the season. I don't think that she has to worry about him.
One of my favorite things about Daenerys is when she introduces someone into her circle or to support her as an ally, she normally takes a moment to really stand with them on her terms. Mm-hmm. It's not just an introduction. It's not who you know or what you've done. She kind of brings them under her influence by directly appealing to whatever they really want. So with Varys, like, we've seen him secretly have this mission of, like, he says he's been for the people, but we've never seen that him do a big grand speech. Like, this is the longest I felt like I ever heard him talk without being interrupted or without trying to hide something. But it's like she puts them in a position where she wants the loyalty directly with them. She wants to know what they want. And it's not just being brought in with a cluster of people. Like, you're someone else's supporter, so you can follow me. It's like, no, you follow me directly.
Or you'll be burned alive.
No.
Sarah, if somebody had a big part to play in hiring an assassin to go and kill you, how quickly would you forgive them?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Marina Ciamella says in the live chat, she has a good point. Why is this convo happening now? He's been in Marine with her for a while now. That's a good point. And, you know, the last time that she dealt with a breach in loyalty with Jorah, she kind of dealt with it really harshly. I mean, he was closer to her, much closer than Varys ever was.
That's a great point.
And she just cast him out almost immediately. And I feel like doing that, she learned that maybe acting so harshly in the Game of Thrones doesn't end well and doesn't, you know, harbor love and strong relationships, which is what you really need to rule.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Speaking of relationships, we get a new one in Dany's life here. We have Melisandre showing up here at Dragonstone.
I was surprised to see her, honestly.
I did not think she was going straight to Dragonstone.
No.
I thought she was going to be wandering around for a little bit, but we have this meeting here. What'd you guys, what'd you think about this? We got the Prince That Was Promised chat.
I was happy to see her and see that she was advising Dany to talk to Jon. I think we all want that, so thanks.
I feel like another thing too with her is more of a evidence of character development. You know, before when she was aiding Stannis, she was really gung ho and really confident in her prophecies, and now you can see that she's pumped the brakes and she's like, well, I don't know, prophecies are kind of tricky.
Yes.
I'm not going to say anything that might not happen. So we're seeing that these characters are learning from their journeys and they're developing. But I saw that as just like really just epic plot development, you know. Hey, let's bring these people into the fold and let's see how Daenerys, you know, we need to build her posse a little bit, her entourage, and that's what happened.
I don't know, I feel like her entourage is coming from people though who have been weakened. Like we just talked about Varys, and like he had a line being as with my eyes, and we all know his little birds are his eyes, but his little birds aren't even his probably anymore. They're more Cersei's, they're more Qyburn's. Then you have Melisandre's come down, she's joining the fray, but she's lost a little bit of faith. We had this whole talk of High Valyrian and how that word means prince and princess, but I don't even know if I think Melisandre really believes that. Because when she has said it in like the common tongue, she says prince. Mm-hmm. And I think we didn't hear her answer because Missandei like jumped in first.
Yep.
I think Melisandre's still on Jon's side.
I think so.
Still thinking he's the leader, despite whatever translation you want to go by. And I'm like, okay, so all these people that we respect or used to fear are gathering around Dany, but they're not who we met them as.
That's a great point that you bring up, because I think that she definitely is seeing everyone align around Dany, and she's like, wait, what about Jon? Like, everyone's not focusing on him at all. So I like that she's bringing him back into the picture, and I think you're right about that. I think that's exactly what's happening here. I don't think she's really aligned with Dany.
And I apologize. I am just coughing because I have a cough, not because I don't believe anything
you say.
You got
the Comic-Con sickness. He's calling us a liar.
No, he's going to be dead soon. You guys, you just...
I'm on my last leg, folks.
Is this grayscale?
Oh, God.
We must move
on. Sorry, I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. Cut it off. Cut it off now. So you still think that Melisandre is working for Jon Snow? Even though Jon Snow has cast him out, she's still kind of working to sort of keep him safe and kind of throw him, give him the weapons he needs to defeat.
She's a religious woman, and I think even though we've seen her struggle with her belief of what is right or who's to lead them, I do think that she is still driven by the fact that she's serving him more than her. I'm not saying she can't be swayed. Like, it might change. She might find something new, but that's where I feel, just based on how she's spoken. We didn't see her change and be like, or princess. Like, she didn't step in.
Yeah, that's true.
And the way you feel is the way that the people in the chat feel right now, too. They think that she is 1,000% still with Jon.
But she's going about it the right way, like Sarah said. Like, she's not coming in being like, look into the fire, and she's not, like, making out with Dany yet. So that's a good sign. Well, we've seen her do that. Pretty much, she's come on to pretty much everybody who she's followed in a sexual way and sort of tried to take them under her spell. In this episode, she's sort of, like, sitting back and just being like, maybe you want to talk to this guy. I'm not going to tell you anything.
Yeah. Good deal.
So we head over to Daenerys' small council meeting, sort of, here in a way. We have Yara and Illyria and Olenna and Tyrion, and it seems like the ladies here want Daenerys to attack. Attack, attack now. Mm. You have the power. Just take it with force. Do you guys believe Tyrion's point here, that if she just goes in and sort of burns King's Landing or whatnot, that the people aren't going to really want to follow her? Or should she just go and do it?
I think she should go and do it.
Just go get it over with. Well, yeah. I mean, Tyrion's smart in this game, and he sees it like chess, you know? I mean, what's the point of posturing so well if you're not going to have allies, you know, at the end of it all? Who wants to rule the Ashes? I think he's on point. But as we saw later in the episode, fragmenting their forces didn't really end up playing out so well. So maybe they, at this point, after the episode, we might, you know, change perspectives on that. But going into it, it's smart. You don't just dive right in and start burning things to the ground. Mm. You know,
I think that there's like this deeper struggle within the Game of Thrones of we're constantly referring to what the people have done before, to win, to kill, to murder. And there was this concept brought off that, like, we're supposed to do better than what our fathers did. Mm-hmm. And I do think, but it's always like, what's going to win? Ever since season one, what wins? People with morals or people who are willing to just chop someone's head off? And, like, I want so much to believe, like, yes, let's try and go about this the most honorable way possible, mm-hmm. and kill people when absolutely necessary. But
look at who you're fighting. You're fighting Cersei. She's the worst villain. I mean, she has no compassion for anyone. She's going to kill and kill and kill, and there's not going to be any peace. And I like what Lady Olenna said to Dany, and she's like, are you a sheep? No, you're a dragon. Be a dragon. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, I feel like she was kind of manipulating her, and this is a woman who's scorned, like, she is just in it for revenge. That's it. And mm-hmm. I think when they showed scenes earlier with Ed Sheeran, right, it just helped humanize the forces, because you're not fighting Cersei, you're fighting men and women and children to get to her. If you can go in and just assassinate Cersei and just kind of get it over with that way, killing, you know, chopping the head off the army, so to speak, then great. But going into war, we've started to see that, you know, no matter which side you're on, you're a person, and that should be taken into consideration.
Mm. I don't know about that in the world of Game of Thrones.
She's like, just get it over with!
If this is our world, yes. This world, no.
So let's break it down here. The plan at the moment is the Greyjoys are going to sail down to Dorne. They're going to pick up all the Dornish. They're going to come back. They're going to lay siege to King's Landing with the help of the Tyrells. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty strong showing right there for the people of Westeros, that the Dornish and the Tyrells have hated each other for a long, long time. So if they're working together, there's something here about this ruler, Daenerys. But they're putting their people on the line. So in order to counter that, we have Tyrion saying that, and it was a specific thing to have Tyrion mention the plan, that the Unsullied are going to go and take Casterly Rock. And to have Tyrion himself say that, it was kind of the, oh, okay, so everybody's going to be, this isn't going to be easy for anybody.
Right.
And the Dothraki are going...
I think where? The Dothraki, yeah. I think, is kind of the weapon you hold on to in your back pocket.
Mm-hmm. Just staying home with Dany.
Because they totally said you couldn't send the Unsullied and the Dothraki to lay siege to King's Landing, because everybody's going to be like, well, who are these foreigners? We don't want this. What's going on? So that kind of settles it for them, I believe. They sort of see there's a good plan here. There's a good plan.
Do you think
possibly.
It's a good plan, Kyle?
I think it is. I don't want to...
I was surprised.
Come on, if somebody came in and just wiped all you out, are you really going to care? You're going to be like, I want to be
that
person.
Anyway.
You might do it out of fear. And that's what Olenna is saying, kind of like, yeah.
I don't know why Tyrion wants them to sack Casterly Rock. Well, what is the big motivator behind that? Because he said the Lannisters have always been the power in Westeros, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, and I guess so he just, what, totally forgoes?
Slowly taking back the land or what?
Yeah,
no, I think the last time we heard someone, or maybe not the last time, one of the most memorable times we've heard someone trying to go after Casterly Rock was when Rob mm-hmm. was in the north, and that's where he was going to go. He was going to go take their home from them. And when we saw the board at the very beginning, there were three lions placed on the board. I don't know if that's supposed to be Cersei and Jaime and their uncle, because the uncle, I believe, is at Casterly Rock.
So Kevin blew up. In the
who's at Casterly Walk then?
I'm not entirely sure who's ruling it at the moment.
So it's just empty?
Well, it's not empty. There is power there. There are soldiers there, and I'm sure there's some Lannister.
But there were three lions on the board.
I think that might represent number of forces. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly, but I know that in old battle plans, they would use those figures to represent, you know, 10,000 troops or however many, so they can divide and strategize that way.
Chat, if you know, help us out.
Either way, if they take Casterly Rock, they're regaining land, and they can plan there, and then they're closer, right? So they're moving forward and claiming land.
Here's a good point by Alley Cat Diva. Casterly Rock has all the gold in the kingdom. If they capture it, Cersei and the Lannisters can't afford to fight the war anymore. So,
but the gold. Lannisters are broke.
So they're just going to capture some debt? Some, like, IOUs in there?
There you go.
Dead men don't need silver.
Lannisters are baroque.
They're like, you can have it.
Grey Worm and Missandei.
Jeb Lannister.
Wow. I didn't really need to say that.
Just for the record, I don't know if this is true or not, but they're saying it. And Uncle, one says Kevin Lannister, one says Jeb.
Jeb? Jeb, yes.
Good old Jeb Lannister. You guys are such trolls. I love it.
About that scene.
Yeah, Grey Worm and Missandei. Did you think this was awesome? Did you want this? You're like, yes, they're finally together, or...
I love them together, and there were moments in this scene that I really liked, but overall...
Nice pair of moments.
No, honestly, I just think I wanted... You're all laughing. It's very difficult to talk about.
I'm listening to you.
I'm curious what's down there. I mean, I wanted
to see too. She's like, I want to see you. I'm like, me too.
Do we really know?
Gave you a scrunch.
Is it the stem and the berries that are going? Like, I don't know.
We're not entirely sure.
What exactly is unsullied?
All right, guys. We don't need to have a discussion about that.
Well, it was romantic, but it was definitely graphic, and it was almost distracting because you're like, how is this going to work? But it was nice. There were nice moments. I'm glad that they finally gave in.
I think it was a beautiful moment, and I'm happy they got together.
Will this be the last time they see each other?
Possibly. So we move on to the their plan sends the Greyjoys down to Dorne. They're going to pick up the Dornish, but along the way we hit a little snag. In the form of Euron Greyjoy.
Just a little snag.
Oh, man, he takes them out ruthlessly.
He's just like a cartoon character. Like, the bridge goes down, he just, like, fully jumps. Yeah. Like, mouth open, sword up, like, I'm ready. And he kind of cracks me up. Like, last week I was like, and now he's a rock and roll. Like,
he's a what?
His leather jacket.
Oh, rock and roll, okay.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like, he's just like this ongoing strange madman cartoon character for me.
you're on point right now.
But
sorry.
Ryan, you're off the panel.
But
what about Ilaria and Yara kind of hitting it off in the beginning of the scene? That was interesting.
Yeah, I think it just
having a little fun on the way back to Dorne.
And then the Sand Snakes being like, oh, you know, maybe I'll kill you guys so I can rule. And then we slowly watch them trickle down to, I think, just one now, right? There's one left in her mother.
It was really...
Did she survive that fight down there?
So.
Did they take her? They took them both, I think.
And then we find out that was the gift that Euron was talking about.
Right.
Seems to be, yeah.
Maybe because, there are multiple gifts.
Well, what's going to happen, you know, if he brings her back to Cersei, because she killed Cersei's daughter, and, God, that's not
Yeah, that's why
pretty.
She was like, just kill us now.
Yeah.
Just kill us now.
Come on, please.
Come on.
You think she knows what's coming?
I don't think anyone has that kind of an imagination.
What do you think? Can we just ask?
Like, whatever happened to that nun? You know, the one that, the shame, I forgot her name. But, you know, we never really saw what ended up happening to her. But you just have to use your imagination on that one.
What do you guys think that Cersei's going to do to Ilaria?
Give her to the mountain. Watch. Some popcorn.
No, I think that's one Cersei's
going to take.
Yeah.
Have we seen Cersei
mutilate someone?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we need to talk about that. what did you guys think about Theon here and his act of cowardice?
Was he smart?
Was he cowardly? What's the deal?
The most interesting part to me is I was like, it's definitely the trauma getting to him, but I was also having, for me, the flashback was coming to when we first met Theon and Bran was the one being held, like, ready to be sacrificed, and we see Theon shoot the arrow, and that's when Rob's like, you could have killed him.
He says, it's the only thing to do, so I did it.
Yes. And now it's like, for me, it was that same scenario back to the beginning, and he couldn't do it. And it was just, he was so lost, and I was like...
I have mixed feelings mixed, they're totally conflicting, because on one hand, I was thinking, well, if he charges towards her, he's probably just going to slit her throat and then kill him.
And then kill him.
Yes.
And so he really...
had no choice.
I mean, he was kind of like reeking out for a second, you know? So I was like, he might just like lose his mind for a second. But, you know, maybe bailing out, although cowardly, was the smartest thing to do. Maybe.
And I think that's why it was so hard for him.
Yeah.
I think him reeking out like that was just the fact that he was accepting that he knew he was supposed to be a man in this situation and save his sister, but that the smart thing to do was to actually jump in the water to save them both. And that was going against all the progress we've seen him make as becoming Theon again.
For any alliance with his sister, with Yara, from where she stands, I felt like she's already forgiven him once for an act of betrayal. When she came to save him, and he wouldn't stay. And that was his chance to save her, and he couldn't do that. And I just don't see how they could rebuild that alliance again.
Yeah.
Like, that's done.
It's done.
So where do you go from that? If Yara becomes queen, if she survives this being of a gift,
they're going to have a conversation.
Yeah. That conversation's not going to go well.
It's not what it looked like.
Okay, listen, like, he obviously has to save her at this point.
I think she dies.
I don't think so. I think he's going to save her. I think there's going to be a conversation, and there's going to be some understanding.
We've already had a conversation. There's no more understanding.
I just don't know where Theon goes after this.
Right, I was thinking that, too. I was like, he could have a plan.
Go to the wall? I just don't know. I just don't know.
He's got to make it back to Dragonstone.
And then what? They're going to be like, what'd you do?
And then
they're going to be like, how'd it go? And he's going to be like, whoops.
Well, I mean, if there's no other way to find out what happened, I mean, how do they know what happened, you know?
Yeah.
He'll probably be honest about it at this point.
So that battle was pretty awesome. I think that was epic. Right. And they said they were going to hit us with some breakneck pace, and I think this episode has kind of kicked it into high gear a little bit here.
Boom, battle boom, boom, of the Boats was great. It looked fantastic. Yeah. I was in love with that action sequence. I do know that I was peeking over Ryan's shoulder over here on the chat, that we have a little bit of debate about the person hanging from the edge of the ship,
right?
As we pulled away, it did seem to be female. Mm-hmm. Are we divided about whether or not that is Yara?
I thought my first thought was that we were supposed to, as a viewer, assume that it was, but then also be in question.
I don't know. I don't think it was.
I don't think it was. I think we're supposed to not
question
be sure.
It?
Yeah. Exactly.
I thought it was a sand snake, but. Hmm. I'm not sure.
I had to go back and pause that angle on the TV
on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
I should just Twitter search images from tonight's show. I'm sure people talking about it.
In my experience of watching, usually when you take someone of nobility like that, they're more valuable alive, right? Just strategically, you take them back, you know, and then you have some. You can hold them ransom, or make the Ironborn, you know.
But Yara was only valuable to Euron and only dangerous to, really, Euron. Like, I don't think she's someone who's really wanted by Cersei. They don't have a relationship. They might don't be have right. a...
So maybe right. the only thing he's bringing back is Elia Sand.
Larya Sand, Larya absolutely.
Sand, yeah.
We shall see. But another part of the plan at Dragonstone was to get Jon to kind of come down and, as Daenerys says, bend the knee. But first, I got to send a letter off to him. So Jon Snow is up in the north receiving this letter from Tyrion. Tyrion's to be believed. I mean, we know that.
Yeah.
We know that. So he's going to go down. But he later also gets a letter from Sam telling him about the Dragonglass at Dragonstone.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got these two letters telling him to go down to Dragonstone. Mm-hmm. And he says he has to go there. And his people don't like that very much. So he's going to leave Sansa behind in his stead. Do you think this is a good idea? Should he go down?
I think he has to. And, you know, for them to think that he's doing it and abandoning the home. I mean, I don't know if he can make it any more clear to these guys. Hey, we need Dragonglass.
Yep.
And we also have a woman with dragons. That could be helpful. You know? I mean, it's a risk, sure, but
Sansa's bringing up a good point. The last time a Targaryen called on them, you know, shit went bad. So
didn't come back.
It's true, and this is another one of those scenarios where I wish I mean, I guess she did kind of bring it up to him in private, and then he wouldn't really listen to her, and so she called him out in front of everybody.
But again, she's doing it.
But it annoys me that she does it like that, because it totally, you know, undermines him.
But I'm going to put part of that on him, because for me, I normally fully support John and what his decisions as now King of the North, or when he was up at Castle Black, but this, for me, I thought he put himself in a bad position, because he declared all of these letters that were sent directly to him in front of a great mass of people.
Right.
If you're about to leave your sister in charge of the North,
you should probably tell her first.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Like, maybe if you talk, like, he's asking her, he's asked her to pull him aside. They can talk privately, but he's not doing that back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this...
That's true.
Just over wanting to be so open, to have everyone on the same page, isn't always the smartest point. Like, don't go to the other extreme and be Peter Baelish and just, like, whisper little secrets to everyone everywhere. But this, to me, was a very bad move, to be so open, to have everything out there, to take people by surprise. Like, you're not... He just doesn't have, like, an inner circle.
Yeah, you gotta come out with
a
game
plan. Council.
You want things to be... Yeah, he doesn't have a small council, that's true. He hates Littlefinger.
I kind of like the way he's doing it. I agree with you, and you have to expect people to oppose you in public when you do it this way, but he's kind of doing it like a democracy, just, like, laying it out there for everyone to chime in. So I kind of like his style, even though... We then get those moments where even his sister isn't on his side, but it's nice to see everyone be able to chime in and him still say, look, I didn't want to be king. If you want to follow me, great, but I'm still going.
Yeah, how great was it when he was like, yeah, but I'll leave you in charge. And then she was totally cool with it. She's like,
oh, okay.
And Littlefinger was like, yeah.
By the way, John, I love your sister.
I thought the emissary advice was good advice, and it scared me that he didn't take it. But
the emissary advice?
Someone, I believe it was Sansa, shouted out, like, you should send an emissary.
And that's not a terrible idea.
Also, maybe...
But he had a point. If John doesn't go down...
It's pretty far away, and that takes a lot of time.
It takes a king to convince a queen.
Boom, there we go. Mm-hmm. So he does go down to the crypt, he's looking at Ned there. And Littlefinger... And John finally have a little tête-à-tête here.
And he choked him just the way his father did. Well, his father, Ned.
So it's easy to hate Littlefinger because he's done a lot of bad stuff. But didn't Littlefinger tell Ned not to trust him?
He also
if I go up to you and
John,
I say, hey, okay, don't trust me. Whatever I do, don't trust me, okay? And then I go do stuff and you trust me?
It doesn't take away from the fact that you're a
bad person. You still hate Littlefinger about that?
Yes. Just because you're like, I'm a liar, and you go lie, you're still a liar, that is why I don't like
you're letting
like
somebody
you.
Know, like, yeah.
I don't care. I'm a murderer. I'm going to go murder people. Don't not like me because I told you I'm a murderer. It doesn't make any sense.
There you go. Well, you took that a little stream.
I have always liked Littlefinger's character, and I've always loved him, actually, because he's really smart, and I respect intelligence so much that it's entertaining for me just to watch people scheme and plot, and yeah, he's done terrible things. He betrayed Ned Stark.
He told Ned not to trust him.
Then again, if it's not technically a betrayal if he was never loyal to him to begin with. But he has done a lot of wrong, but he's done a lot of right by Sansa, even if it is in his own... Well, he kind of saved her more than once, and
he's done a lot of bad shit to her.
He's done a lot of bad, he's done a lot of good, if you can call it good, but...
So what was he trying to accomplish in this scene?
I think he was trying to let his intentions be known, that he was interested in Sansa, and that he would maybe, you know... Kind of, he's posturing. He wants, okay, Jon Snow's going down the south. She's up here as queen. I'm kind of, you know,
I'm here,
up here as well.
To help her.
I'm
or
here
what?
To help. I'm here to be your, you know, he wanted his confidence and he wanted to have a talk with him like he hasn't had.
It was an interesting place. An interesting choice of place,
Littlefinger
though.
Littlefinger has been slipping the past few seasons with his decisions.
No, I think it's very much on purpose, him choosing to do it down there.
I agree. This was strike two for John, for me. I was
agreed.
I was like, okay, stab him or banish him or make him an emissary somewhere. Do not leave him up there.
Yeah.
I mean, he did save them.
Littlefinger was being, I thought he was being truthful here. He's like, you have a lot of enemies. I'm not one of them. Here, and I believed him in that moment, and then he was honest, and he was like, "I love your sister, and that's my deal. That's
and
my
never really goes
and
over.
I
that's
love my your stepmom.
So that's my deal here. And John draws the line in the sand, and he says, "Well, if you touch her, you're done. Like, this isn't going to work out." And I think John screwed up any chance of him and of the Aerie being behind John. I think Littlefinger knows that there's no way he can have Sansa and work with John now. So I think he just made a really bad enemy with Littlefinger.
Do
in
you
that
think Littlefinger is going to send someone to follow John? And it seems that way, in my opinion.
I don't know.
He knows exactly where John's going.
We have a few people in the chat who are saying that Arya is going to take care of the Littlefinger problem. We have Sci-Fi Fan saying that. We have J.D. Heron saying that.
Does she hate Littlefinger? Is he on the list?
And everyone's kind of. I don't think he's on the list.
No.
But, yeah, the past few seasons he has been kind of slipping.
So he might be added.
Yeah.
There's room.
So we, let's go down to King's Landing. Cersei is also kind of meeting with her lords here, just as Jon Snow is doing up north. But, so she has collected the southern lords here, the major one being Randall Tarly. And Randall Tarly wants to know how Cersei is going to stop the dragons. And Qyburn says he's working on a solution.
He was inspired by Joffrey.
So we find out that he has a giant bow and arrow. Or he has a giant crossbow.
They didn't know each other, but they're connected on a mental level.
They are. So is this his plan? Is he going to stop them the way that Smaug the dragon was stopped in the Hobbit movies?
He's just going to get a giant
crossbow and shoot the dragons?
I thought it was a bummer that they ruined a perfectly good skull. I mean, that thing was like a relic. Like, they didn't have to shoot the skull.
I don't think they care about that.
Yeah.
It's a trophy, though.
They are, like, hitting their trophy, but it wasn't their trophy, so I guess it's fine. If they can be wounded, they can be killed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that they can be killed.
I think a dragon's going down.
I like putting the fear out there. I think we've built up all these things. Like, we built up White Walkers for all. We've built up dragons and what they are. But I do like always throwing in that seed of doubt of, like, it's not impossible.
Yeah.
Like, that's what makes the show worth watching. It's not impossible.
It's not one completely one-sided.
And what happens when the mother of dragon loses a dragon?
Oh, man.
I kind of want to see that.
Yeah, but if you cover the walls with these and dragons start flying at you, that is a big deterrent. So I think those aren't to be messed with.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think they could hurt dragon big time. So
you think, which dragon do you think is going down?
The green one.
The
Syrian there.
Right.
He's going down. Because I think John's going to ride the other one there. But anywho, so...
All right.
So we have this conversation between Jaime and Randall Tarly. And Jaime asks him, are you going to be on her side? And he doesn't actually answer that question there. Randall is not to be messed with. He is the only one that beat Robert Baratheon in battle. And... He's a good general. He's a good general. And so Jaime promises him that he'll be Warden of the South if he fights along with him. Do you guys think Randall Tarly's going to take their side?
I think that he may appear to take their side, but I think he will choose the correct side in the end.
For some reason, I feel like he's going to manage doing both.
Yeah.
Like, he'll fight for the Queen, but not attack these people. I don't know. I think they established him as a very formidable... a military man.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we don't have that figure really right now in all
since,
of our characters.
Ever since Tywin Lannister left.
Yeah, and
really
so I would find it interesting to really keep him around. Plus, then you always have, like, what happens when we bring Sam back?
Yeah, that would be a reunion to keep an eye out for. But yeah, I was curious. I wrote that down. I was like, you know, how is Randall Tarly going to deal with Olenna Tyrell? Because it's going to happen. And I think I agree with you. I think he's going to, because the safe, most logical thing is to uphold one oath while kind of ignoring the other, but not breaking it entirely.
Guys, Olenna's going to use her feminine wiles. Watch.
Boom, boom, boom.
Her what?
Olenna's going to use her feminine wiles.
On Randall Tarly?
Oh. All right.
I love it.
I can't wait to see these predictions unfold. I think you guys are spot on.
So then we... let's go to Old Town, guys.
Yeah,
let's check out Sam here.
I'm so happy at how, like, the story's progressing.
Holy cow, it's moving.
Yeah, I mean, everything we talked about last week as far as the gift, we got the gift this week, and as far as, like, I was like, I really hope Sam's gonna help Jorah. Do you think he's going to? And he's helping him.
Absolutely.
Totally grossed me out, though, with the how they led in with the pie.
Yeah, that transition was pretty nasty. But just as we were all kind of talking about, Sam brings up that Shireen had the grayscale, and it stopped. And the Archmaester seems to have an answer against Sam for everything he says. He just shuts him down left and right. He's like, oh, but there's a guy. There's a Maester Pylos who cured grayscale 2 times. Yeah, we know he died of grayscale. So he's just shooting him down left and right. So Sam has to kind of take it into his own hands. He's reading a book. He sees that if you cut off the top layer of grayscale skin and apply some sort of ointment, it may work. Do you guys really think that's not going to work?
I think it's going to work.
That's not going to work.
I think it'll at least preserve his mind longer than 6 months. Long enough
so
to
just slow
get
it
that
down.
Letter he was writing to Dany and have some exchanges with her so we can see him at least go down the right way and feel good about it.
I think he's going to live, because this is really our first real test for Sam as a maester. You know, this is like his, you know, the calling of going out and taking chances and using his brain. And if he doesn't succeed, that'd be kind of a blow to his confidence and our confidence in him as one of the heroes of our story. So I think he'll, like you said, live long enough to redeem himself in Daenerys' loving eyes. But he'll be deformed. I don't know. He might just die.
He's going to be a little
whatever.
Up, huh?
He might just die.
Daenerys told him to find the cure. He is not dying before it happens.
Mm. I don't think he's dying, but I don't think Sam is going to be forgiven for doing this.
You think he'll be kicked out of the Citadel?
I think rules are going to be harsher at the Citadel. We haven't seen any giving at any point in any of our interactions in the Citadel. It's so cold, so by the book, and he broke the rules.
But is anyone going to see Jorah? He's in this, like, dark cell, like, quarantined from everyone.
Yeah, what if he actually does cure this grayscale? And, I mean, do you think, even though maybe it was a brilliant move, he'll get kicked out anyway?
I think if Jorah gets out without anyone knowing, maybe he'll stay. But I don't see a lot of forgiveness. I'd be really shocked if they were like, you know what, Sam? You broke all the rules. Oh, it's fine. You don't need to clean any more pots. We're going to promote you.
Also, I don't think it's going to be this easy. I think there's going to be more therapy sessions, you know, that he's going to have to go back and reapply some ointment at the very least.
So in one of the books Sam was reading, I believe, last episode, people had freeze-framed it. And they'd taken looks at it. And it was talking about how dragon glass can cure random diseases and different things or whatnot. But it also says they ingest it. They sort of like melt it down or grind it into some sort of powder and they ingest it. But it also says those people are fools. And so I don't know how good that is. But I was reading a theory about why it stopped with Shireen. And a lot of people believe because she was so young and living on Dragonstone and in such close proximity to all the obsidian and the dragon glass that's what sort of prevented or halted the spread of the grayscale.
Wow.
So it's just a theory I was reading. It seems
I love that.
It seems kind of interesting and whatnot. But so Jorah might find that he maybe has to live on Dragonstone later or something, and he can't leave, but he's in Westeros. I don't know.
Maybe
it's just too late, and he's kaputs, you know?
We have Koff 2009 predicting that I think Sam will leave with Jorah. They'll leave together.
I like that.
That's a good one. Thank you. Thank you, Koff.
But so Sam feels a little... He knew his dad. He knew Gior. And so I think this is kind of propelling him to help him, right? It's kind of one of his main motivations.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean,
Sam, I love that guy.
And you know what? Big shout out to John Bradley, who plays. We got a chance to meet a few Game of Thrones characters down there.
Whoa!
We met Isaac, who plays Bran. Liam Cunningham, just a stand-up man, such a gentleman. And John Bradley, we saw him at Conan too. He's really funny, really stand-up guy.
Nice.
We saw them at the Entertainment Weekly party.
Hey. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. We got to talk to them.
Name dropping. You guys are so LA.
I didn't, like, run into them at a BP. Sorry. Like, we weren't pumping gas next to each other, okay?
Oh, jeez. Well, so let's go to Arya here.
Cool.
And we have the return of one of my favorite characters ever, Hot Pie. I just can't smile big enough when Hot Pie comes on the scene. He teaches us another valuable lesson in Westeros. You want to brown the butter.
You want to brown the butter.
Brown that butter before he eats it.
And friends don't pay. I like that, too. I really
yeah.
Do.
friends don't pay. I love Hot Pie here. So this is the first time that he has seen Arya here in a while. And I can't seem to find my page of Arya notes here. What's going on in this scene, guys? What's their conversation about?
Well, I can give you a little tidbit where I'm pretty sure that I read that the actor who plays Hot Pie does sell wolf bread. I believe it's in the UK.
Really?
So if anyone's visiting over there, I've heard you can actually get some lovely hot pie.
Hopefully it's the really deformed dire wolf one.
Yeah.
I think it's perfected
wolf. Okay, he's perfected it here.
Special instructions. Make me the one that's in Game of Thrones.
With the fat tail.
With the fat tail.
So we have Hot Pie telling Arya that the Boltons are no longer in Winterfell, which is a fact that she did not know. So I think it was kind of a nod to the fans, because the fans were like, she's going to come back and she's going to go home. And then last episode, she's like, I'm going out to King's Landing. And we're like, no, why? And they say it, she says it right there at the beginning. And then we find out that she didn't think the Starks had Winterfell back. But now she's on her way. We kind of have that moment of decision-making at the end where we have those people obviously going down to King's Landing. And she turns around. She heads the other way. I'm excited. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Do you guys think she made the right choice?
You know, at this point...
Sarah's dying over here.
Okay,
No,
sorry, sorry.
No, because mine jumps forward about a scene, so...
Absolutely.
I'll let you go.
So long.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, I was just gonna say, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You never know how it'll play out. If she went to King's Landing and assassinated Cersei and ended the war, maybe that would have been for the better. But I don't think there much harm could come from going back up and reuniting with her family, because it's something that's been so distant and a dream for so long. Her only real dream was to cross names off a list, but now that she knows that she has some family to return to...
Do you think that reunion would go well?
I don't see why not.
Reunion with Sansa?
She's a little bit different now. She's kind of a stone-cold killer.
Yeah. But I think that she's like one of the only true Starks left as well. And I think once word gets out, like, the North is going to be even more united. You know?
I just don't know. It's kind of one of those things where, you know, you have your friends from high school or whatnot, and you go off, and then years later you come back, and you're all into different stuff and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is a little awkward. This is not how it used
back.
To be.
I think
after the meeting with Nymeria, I don't think she's going back. I think it was like, we took two steps towards the North. We had our first taste of what life used to be like. Mm. Things have changed. We're going to go south now.
I like that prediction. Although I think Sansa could use her help, because I don't trust the North in Sansa's hands with Littlefinger around. So I think if Arya was to be there, it would be more helpful to Sansa.
What do you think? I want you to talk more about Nymeria.
Yeah.
What do you think when she said, that's not you?
Oh, my interpretation of that's not you. First of all, I thought that the lead up to the whole Nymeria wolf pack was great.
Yeah.
And super she got fun. Huge.
Queen
yeah, dire
of the
wolves are big.
Yeah, man, that was crazy.
Killing it, which is why I think why we can assume that it obviously was Nymeria. Hmm. But I think when she says it's that's not you, it comes to the response of, let's go north. Let's be part of what we used to be. And when the wolf turns and is going to be a wolf, it's like, no, you have to embrace what you've become.
Yes.
You can't go back. Like, the whole idea, the spark that knowing Jon was alive, retook Winterfell, what that triggered Arya to, like, go north. For me, meeting Nymeria would just tore that wall down. Like, no.
Yeah.
We're not going to be a happy family again.
That's
things
not
aren't going to be what they are. I'm not going to come home with my wolf and we're all going to sit by the fire. That's not who she's grown to be. She's grown to be an assassin. She's grown to just, like, work pretty much by herself. So
that's such a great point. And, you know, I remember when Ned was talking to her, like, one day you're gonna be a lady with a bunch of princes and stuff. And she's like, that's not me.
That's a great point.
So that's a great point that you made.
Yeah, I think you're right, Sarah.
I mean, I could be wrong. That's what I'm hoping.
I'm gonna go a little magical on this, and I got sort of a warging vibe out of this. Like, there's somebody in Nymeria.
Oh.
Like, Bran, perhaps. I don't know. That's kind of what I got out of it. And that Nymeria, whoever's in Nymeria, like Bran or something. I keep throwing that out because he's the only one I can think of. But sort of, like, leading her somewhere now.
That would be awesome.
I don't know. That's kind of the vibe I got. Got nothing to go on with that.
No, either way, if there is Bran in there, then he's sort of leading Arya in the right direction, which is probably south, like Sarah says. So I think they're both together, and I think you're spot on. I think you guys are correct.
I'm just like,
those.
If she goes north, we're going to see it's her versus Peter Baelish. She goes, Self, I feel like there's a lot more things she could do.
I don't know. That's I think Danny I needs an assassin to send in. I think that's the new plan.
So I tweeted out the question about who was hanging from the bow of that ship and before we go to predictions. And a lot of people think it was the Sand Snake with the whip. Nim, I believe, and that was her whip that she was hanging
from.
I
was wondering, that whip doesn't really seem to be really combat effective.
And there you go. Well, she was here.
What happens when your weapon is turned on you? I always worry about that.
So let's go into predictions, guys. Let's talk about next week. Let's do it up. Let's see what we can find.
All right.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions. So John and Danny might meet, right?
Seems that way.
Oh, man. Do we have the meeting that we have all been waiting for? And what does it mean? Are they going to get along? Is he going to have to bend the knee? Are they going to butt heads? What is going to happen? What are you guys thinking? What do you think, Kristen?
I do not think he's going to bend the knee, but he is not concerned with the throne as she is. He's concerned with a different war entirely.
With the battle.
Exactly. He's concerned with winter coming. So I don't think he's going to bend the knee, but I think that they're going to come to an agreement where they're going to work together, and he's obviously going to explain the importance of the dragon glass.
What do you guys think, Sarah? You got any ideas? What's going on in the coming weeks?
My ideas for John, really, I just think maybe if somehow one of the dragons can just come in and be like, he's related to you. And all of a sudden they can, like, join up. And she can be like,
dragon's like, he's really handsome.
Yeah, like all of a sudden just one of them just kind of maybe just become like inseparable, and he's like, hey!
That'd be pretty cool if John walked up as he's walking into Dragonstone, and a dragon just goes, what's up?
You think my mom's hot or what? I, like, sort of want a love connection, like, love at first sight. I sort of do. But I know that's, like, completely out
the
of,
aunt
like...
and the nephew love connection? Is
yeah,
that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I do. No, that like... creeps me out. Okay, so what, they're cousins?
No, aunt and nephew.
Okay, but that's kind of it's okay in their... They're supposed to marry within their own family, right?
Well, Targaryens, yeah.
Targaryens, yeah. So it's fine. I'm fine with that. I want a little spark. Just give me a little spark.
I got some predictions from the chat. I'll just fire them out. Rapid fire. Ashley Morales says Arya and Gendry will meet up again.
She loves Gendry. I love Gendry so much.
There you go.
Yeah, I wonder where he is. Young Wells says, time for Littlefinger to meet his end.
Whoa.
We got... and then we also have another reunion prediction. Eternal Spiral Books says we have to have an Arya Hound reunion. So we do have all these Arya relationships. We had an Arya Hot Pie reunion today. Who knows? I'll go ahead and side with the chat on this one. I think that Arya is going to keep reuniting with old friends and enemies like the Hound and Gendry.
Love it.
And
is she going to assemble like her own Misfits army? Is that what you're doing?
Yes. Yes. The Misfits army who have no name.
The Goonies. The Goonies are coming.
The Goonies.
Beware, Cersei.
So we didn't get to watch the inside the episode yet, but we did get to see our little kind of flash forwards of next week. And one of the frames that caught my eye was Sansa in front of our lovely tree, our lovely weirwood. And I feel like for the most part, whenever we've seen those weirwoods come in the north and in Winterfell, it's sometimes involving some sort of ceremony. Had a wedding ceremony there in the past.
Oh, no.
So her and Littlefinger, she going to get married a third time?
I don't know. Bye.
What kind of wedding would that be called?
Oh, my God. Thirdsies?
The thirdsies.
I don't know. Awesome, guys.
The pink wedding.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 7, Episode 2, Stormborn. Make sure you guys tune in next week. We'll be back here. We'll be checking about Episode 3. If you are listening to us on iTunes, make sure you guys subscribe. Keep on listening. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure to click that like and subscribe button. Join the chat. Leave the comments. We love to hear them. Thank you guys so much for watching it. My name's Kyle Maddock. You can find me at Kyle Maddock on Twitter.
I'm Kristen Snyder. You can follow me at Cinematic Escape. And stay tuned. After we say bye, there's going to be some exclusive battle scenes coming at you.
Bye, guys. It was so good to be back. Sarah Stretton, can find me, you know, hanging out around LA sometimes. I think I have a Twitter, but I don't use it.
We're going to make Sarah come back whenever she's available, but you know, you're acting in something right now.
I'm a little busy. I'm working.
We love you. It's so good to have you back, at least for this episode. Hopefully yes, you can come back for more when definitely you can. And I'm Ryan Malady. You can follow me at Ryan Malady everywhere. Thank you guys so much. You're the best fans in the world. And hi, Heba. And enjoy this exclusive new battle scene.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Hello, Joe Harris.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.